The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. 65 years. They're celebrating 65 years at Bill Curry Ford, a family-owned tradition since 1960, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Maybe you want an F-150 or a Bronco. The November offers are incredible, from lease deals to great financing offers. Check them all out at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. And remember, you get the Ira Kaufman discount. Just reach out to General Manager Sean Sullivan on email, at the website, BillCurryFord.com, or right at the showroom there, a mile north of the stadium, and he'll give it to you. Or reach out to him with your questions for personal service that you're looking for. Schedule mobile service at your home on the website, body work, whatever you need, BillCurryFord.com. Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Mr. Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer. We got a hell of a podcast coming forth. Ira, how are you, buddy?
I don't like those bye weeks, Steve. I know the Buck players really look forward to it, but I don't like a Sunday without a weekend without Buck football. I felt naked and embarrassed over there, Steve. And
10 years ago, a Sunday without Buck football was called January. That's what it was called.
That's outstanding, Steve.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. Anything? You got
your
big
anniversary this weekend.
On Saturday.
Lee, big anniversary.
Big night.
Flowers,
you know,
candy. 44. Were you a candy
I'm looking
guy?
For romance. I'm looking for romance.
Too much information.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute. First, we're going to a movie on Nuremberg. That's not exactly a
cuddling movie.
Yeah. There's not going to be any cuddling at Nuremberg when Hermann Göring sits in the witness stand.
You're setting me up for one of the greatest one-liners. I'm shocked you haven't mentioned it.
Let's hear it.
Wasn't there a Schindler's List reference in Seinfeld?
There was. You made out with Schindler's List? What are you going to do? That's a good one, Lee. There's not going to be any making out in Nuremberg. Not any.
So you got a fancy lunch planned, or what do you got going?
Well, we got a big dinner on the weekend. You know what? I'm ready to spend $39 for two people on dinner. I'm ready.
Don't tell me you're going to, prior to the movie, you're going to go out for schnitzel. So what are you dining on Saturday?
It's going to be some oysters. There's going to be some oysters.
Is this an Applebee's 2 for $25 thing? I don't know.
They make a perfect margarita, Applebee's. They make a nice margarita.
All right, enough of that. So are you heading out to the game on Sunday?
Looking forward to it. I see Mr. DeKemper out there, Steve. I might convince you to come out there. You never know. We got Rock Riley. We got our crowd that we sit with, Lee, and we have a good time.
Well, you know what? Real quick, I was in there for the good time. I'm there to take notes and talk to players. I got to preface this considering the source. Now, I love all our weathercasters out there, but these weathercasters, they're one-trick ponies. It goes above 75 degrees to start whining how hot it is. So the early forecast so far, it's summery weather.
It's going to kill the Patriots. Oh, they're not going to handle it.
But it probably is going to be 77, I guess.
Yeah.
But these people, it's like they celebrate cold weather, and hot weather to them is it's
absolutely
like the summery weather, quote unquote. Summery for whom? Montreal?
I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday out there, Lee.
Well, I don't want to trash your reputation. We know that no matter what happens in the game, somehow you end up standing next to Todd Bowles' car in the bowels of the stadium, you stand in front of his driver door to get information before he can get in.
And I gabble with the missus. You know, she's very friendly.
I've never met her.
And I asked her about Todd's zone defense and, you know, the blitz packages, and she gives me a little inside information. Beautiful.
I have that famous picture that I'm not allowed to reveal.
And then the Glazer cars come flying out of that.
Immediately.
Yeah. With the lights on the motorcycles, and they almost ran me over a couple of times.
Every week, I hope they'll hit me so I can get some money. Every week. Hey, Ira, look, all your work's presented by Bill Curry Ford, which we heard opening the podcast, that opening commercial there. But it's more than a commercial because we love everybody over there.
I wonder how many columns I've written for this wonderful outfit over there, Steve. I mean, it's maybe 1,000 columns. It's close to it.
Yeah, it's probably more than that. I could add it up if it would make you happy. I know it's definitely more than that.
How many typos have you caught in 1,000 columns?
Well, in the early days, you used to write more, but you know, you're picking your spots these days, and your podcasts are better. So, but BillCurryFord.com, shop there now. Don't mess around. Ask Sean Sullivan for the Ira Kaufman discount. Just be smart. Do it. You can ask him online for it too, and he'll answer any of your Bucks questions or just about planning for a new vehicle. Or, hey, Sean, I'm thinking of doing this in December at the end of the year. And, you know, he'll help you. You can't get better service than you would get at Bill Curry Ford and Florida's Elite Restoration. Don't forget them anytime you have a disaster in your home. Mold, just water damage, a leak under your sink for 4 days. You didn't know it was there. These things can be way worse than you imagine, and you have to mitigate them immediately. Otherwise, insurance is going to say, hey, you didn't take care of it right away. Call them 24/7. You get a free inspection. They'll come out with all their technology, and then they'll give you a report, and you decide how you want to move forward to restore your property. They can do it all. They're a one-stop shop. I don't mention that enough. If your kitchen got trashed with a flood or your laundry room or something, they can do everything for you, not just restoring it to clean it up. They can remodel it, whatever it is. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. When you first call, mention Ira or Joe Buck's fan. And if you need their service, if you really need them, they'll give you $500 back. Could be cash for your deductible or just cash in your pocket. Owner Josh Martin, he's a superstar. And
make them the first call. Stay the first call.
Yeah, don't call your insurance company and have them come over. And then they're going to tell you, oh, you got to use our guy. And it's not someone you necessarily can trust. Call Florida's Elite Restoration for your free inspection. Ira, we've got plenty to inspect with this Buccaneers game coming up.
Waiting for my prostate MRI. See, we start off right away. Yes,
you're
Steve.
Sending joy and cheer throughout the Bay Area. All right, Ira, look, there's so many places to go. The Bucs are back off the bye.
We're back, and more importantly, the Bucs are back, Steve. More importantly.
So the bye week, Ira, fans were hoping, beyond hope, that it would cure a lot of ills as far as the injury report goes. So let's just get these out of the way. Chris Godwin, not playing, not practicing. He's got a fibula injury. Nobody knows what this is.
Ditto Bucky Irving. Ditto.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN enlightened the world on television the other day by saying, well, Godwin looks like late November, early December. Gee, thanks, Mr. Fowler, because he's not playing this Sunday. Next week is mid-November in Buffalo, and all of a sudden, you know, is he going to be back in 2 weeks? Nobody knows. He can't practice after a bye. Bucky Irving, this will be his fifth consecutive game missed.
This is ominous. This is ominous.
Now, good news is Luke Goedeke, he's been practicing, and hopefully he suits up on Sunday.
I've been saying Goedeke's not going to go on Sunday. Now I'm thinking maybe they throw him out there.
He's on the table, isn't he, so to speak?
Yeah, we'll see.
What's the famous phrase? In play?
Lee, is he going to be in football shape, Goedeke?
A great question. I've written about that a couple times, not just with Goedeke, but if Mike Evans comes back, is he going to be in football shape for the playoffs? Is Kalijah Kansi, when he comes back, is he going to be in football shape? That's a great question, Irons. And I hate to be Debbie Downer. When the Bucs make the playoffs, if Evans comes back, I'll be happy as hell. But I don't think it's going to be peak Mike Evans for that very reason. Same with Kalijah Kansi a couple years ago when he came back from injury. It took him 3 or 4 games to get warmed up.
Unless they get him back with a couple of games under their belt.
That would help. That would help. And just real quick for reference about Kansi, back in 2020 playoffs, when Vita Vea came back from his ankle injury for the NFC Championship game, I think it was, 48% of the defensive snaps? It was high 40s. That's all he could do. He made a hell of an impact, but he didn't even play half a game. So I'm using that kind of a barometer. If Kalijah Kansi comes back his first game, you're looking at maybe half the game. That's better than none. But
short answer, Ira, to your question, which was Goedeke, can he come back football shape? Guy hasn't played since week 2 with a foot injury. So you got a foot injury. He's not going to have his wind in the same way.
I'd like to see him practice a week or two. I would.
Well,
but
we'll see if it ends up being that. But Mike Evans, you know, as he heals up, at least he should be able to have his wind. He should be able to, when he comes back, it's not like he's coming off an ankle.
He can run. In other words,
he could be like on a treadmill or something.
The guy
you haven't mentioned, and I'll add a little note to it, is Hassan Reddick. And
who?
Lee, before you say anything, let me say, who cares? Who cares?
Ooh.
That sounds a little rough. Sounds a little rough.
Well, you know Bowles is a pressure kind of guy. And when Hassan Reddick went out, him and Yaya were both top 10 in pressures. You know what I mean? I don't give a damn about pressures. It's almost sacks.
Pass rushes look better without Reddick. Look better.
Because Nelson had a hell of a game.
We'll see. But Reddick, with the knee injury and the ankle issue, still out.
He was healthy for 7 weeks, Lee. He didn't do anything.
Don't tell it to the pressure people. They love pressures.
He had a big sack in the Atlanta game. That was key.
You know, it was. First game.
It was. It stopped.
You're going back to September 7th?
I'm just telling you what he did. I don't have to talk very long. You know, it's a short list.
Well, 2 months later, Lee. 2 months.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The key, Ira, for me is Baker Mayfield. Has he gained enough health back to be the guy who looked like the MVP? And Mayfield admitted this week that, well, you know, on certain throws when I have to rely on my kind of my torque and my oblique issue, he didn't say oblique
and his
issue,
stance and his stance
that, yep, you know, yep, that's when you kind of feel it. What that really means, we don't know. But the sad thing is, from sad, maybe a strong word, he's still on the injury report, meaning the Bucs are still officially saying he has this knee and this oblique injury. Now, he practiced fully and he says he's in great shape and I believe him, but if you have any sort of hint of an injury, they're supposed to list it, and the Bucs, you know, are pretty strict with that. So it's not gone. It's not gone.
I think Steve makes a great point here, Lee. You know, say what you want about Irving. Say what you want about Gedeki. Say what you want about Mauk. But it all comes back to Mayfield, usually.
Sure.
And he hasn't been himself for two games. He hasn't.
Correct.
And if he is, they got a damn good chance to maybe win two out of the next three
games.
Well,
there's a guy, he's a chronic whiner on Twitter, he went after me, that I quoted, Josh Grizzard said, Baker Mayfield had the juice again. What he was referencing was, you know, he's refreshed mentally. I guess that was taken out of context. Some guy jumped my case for writing that.
Could be a Czechoslovakian bot.
Well,
Lee, not just refreshing your body, but refreshing your mind. I think that's legitimate.
Yeah.
It's legitimate.
Yeah, that's what he was referencing. He goes, you had the juice back, you know, because like you said, you refreshed mentally. I guess that's a cardinal sin.
Don't read the comments, Lee.
I should.
Don't read the comments.
I should.
All right, I got one question for you, Ira. One. We know the stock one-liners of why or whatever, but our last podcast with Sean Sullivan was focused on the trade deadline, and the Bucks did nothing. And just your overall thought there. And I don't want to hear light guards as draft picks like they're,
gold bars.
Yeah, gold bars.
I was disappointed. I was disappointed. I think when the Buck season ends, I think they're going to regret not making a move. I think they're going to regret it because you never know. It doesn't have to be Trey Hendrickson. But if it's the right guy that's a good fit in the
Jacoby
locker room
Myers?
And can play, that guy can win you a game in January. And
or November.
I think they're going to regret sitting on their hands.
That's a strong statement, Ira. Are you going to smack him around after the season?
Yeah, if I see light at the game Sunday, I think I'm just going to come out and tell him what I just said.
Hey, light!
And I
hope important draft picks. Help your 6-2 football.
I hope
team.
It doesn't come to that. I hope it doesn't come to that.
I know.
All right, so Sage, look, the good news is, if we can call it good news, is that the Patriots have a bunch of injuries as well. Now, sometimes you get so caught up being a Bucs fan and what's going on is you forget that the other team is out there.
I don't see Drake May's name on that injury list.
No, Drake May there. But his number one target is Mr. Booty. That's his last name. Deep threat. And May has been excellent with the deep ball this year. So, and then we got Ramondre Stevenson is out. And he has been a fumble machine, but he is their number one running back. Still their number one guy. So, you could say that that's a bit of a wash.
They don't run the ball very well, Steve. They don't run the ball very well. And neither do the Bucks right now. Neither do the Bucks.
No, and, you know, so they've got injuries. They've got, it's question, their center has had some injuries. He was limited this week. Is he going to play on Sunday? Not sure.
And their offensive line healthy isn't great anyway,
but
Steve.
They've allowed the second most sacks, and Drake May has said that that's on me. But if you read a lot of this Patriots fan stuff and listen to the media up there like I did this week, he's not just covering for the line. Everybody who seems to watch the Patriots agrees, May, he has this hold the ball issue. Even though he's completing 74% of his passes.
Well, maybe his receivers aren't getting open, Lee.
That could be.
That could be.
Well, so you got to have that clock. You got to get rid of it.
Yeah, so we got some good news on that injury front there, Ira. But it is a very difficult matchup here.
I can't wait to see May. Lee, I have not watched Patriots a full game this season, but what I do see, Lee, is a guy who's leading the league in completion percentage, a guy that's thrown 4 interceptions, 17 touchdowns, and has more rushing attempts. Listen to this one. More rushing attempts than any quarterback in the league, including Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
He's number one. Now, he's not averaging 7 yards like Mayfield is. But he's a dangerous runner, so it's not just flushing him out of the pocket. you know, he can still hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they have to put a spy on him, Lee. I think they might, which is what Detroit did to Mayfield. Can you imagine that, Lee? If you would have said before the season, the Detroit Lions had to have a spy on Mayfield because they were worried about his legs. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
We would have laughed about that.
No, I wouldn't.
Although he was effective last year as a runner, too. But I got to see how the Patriots are doing this, Lee. I got to see how they're doing. How'd they go into Buffalo and spank the Bills? How'd they do it? Why are they 4-0 on the road? I mean, Lee, that is not a star-studded team. To me, they are the epitome, Lee, of a team
rebuilding.
Who the sum of their parts is better than the parts. Mm. Vrabel is right now the leading candidate for Coach of the Year, and May is a strong MVP candidate. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Shame on the Titans for letting them go, Lee. Shame.
Well, I clowned Vrabel. I thought he was overrated as hell. I was not impressed with the job he had at Tennessee. His idea of an offensive coordinator was that clown that Mike Tomlin thinks is an offensive coordinator. Artie Smith.
Artie Smith.
He's terrible. And Vrabel couldn't talk his general manager, the guy that used to be with the Bucks, couldn't talk him into getting a better quarterback than the guy at Texas A&M. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
Tannehill?
Tannehill, yeah, right? Yeah. Tannehill.
But they had Derrick Henry, Lee. They had Derrick Henry.
If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have spit. And I thought Vrabel was a horribly overrated coach.
And now you're looking at the Titans after Vrabel.
No, I'm looking at the Patriots, what the job he's done there, like you said.
And you're looking at the Titans.
Parts.
They stink.
I ain't looking at the Titans. They weren't that great with Vrabel, but he's impressing me with the job he's doing at the Patriots.
They win 9 games.
Can we get off Tennessee? Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. You're hung up on Tennessee.
I'm talking about Vrabel.
Yeah, they made the playoffs. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, to your point about Coach of the Year, I've read some of this. I've heard some of this. I want your feedback, Ira. Todd Bowles is Coach of the Year.
In the conversation.
Should be.
In the conversation.
All those injuries and he's got a 6-2 record.
Now, don't go 0-3 the next 3 weeks.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
But, I mean, is that, like you said, that's fair, right?
In the conversation. Fair. Fair. So's the Indy guy.
What would the reaction of Tampa Bay be if Bowles is Coach of the Year? You know he's not popular,
right? I think the Bowles skeptics would have to say we were wrong. We were wrong.
You think they will?
No.
Yeah.
This is a tough game coming up, Steve.
It's a tough game because it's very difficult to project. Very difficult. Now, the Patriots, they haven't played a rough schedule.
No,
so
they have not.
You know, they beat Buffalo, and then they've played all losing teams since then. That was a month ago. So where do they stand now? We don't really know. May, like you said, he's been running the ball, which was, to the degree he is a surprise. I realize he's number one probably because Lamar Jackson has been hurt.
But more than Josh Allen.
But absolutely. Yeah. But he's been throwing deep well and short. So that's usually, if you're 74%, you're Drew Brees, you're throwing short balls.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not been the case. So it's tough to predict.
And to an extent, that was Mayfield last year. Short balls, 72% completion.
And now his top target is out. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky was rambling on ESPN about how this is going to be the toughest test for May because of all the stuff that Todd Bowles is going to throw at him.
Now, wait a minute. They did go to Buffalo, Steve. They did go to Buffalo.
He's saying that, you know, in the game, it's going to be the most challenging stuff he's ever seen. And, you know, is he up to it? We don't know.
And he's prone to sacks. Like, he is prone. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking for weaknesses. He's extremely accurate, and he's smart, but he's prone to sacks. I mean, 34 sacks in half a season. That's a big number.
Orlovsky rambling. What a shock.
There you go.
You know, I used to talk to him when he was the Buck backup because I thought he was fairly insightful.
Was he?
And I was the only one that would talk to him. You know, nobody was going up to Dan Orlovsky. Oh, he was behind Jameis, right?
No. He was behind Freeman.
Oh, behind Freeman.
He was a Shannon man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody paid any attention to Dan Orlovsky. I wish they didn't pay any attention to him now. He comes up with some outlandish stuff. By the way, can I put the TV on now?
What?
At any moment?
What do you mean?
On sports TV and not see Stephen A. Smith's face? Is it possible?
I thought you were talking about the racketeering that ESPN was doing to football fans.
This guy Smith's everywhere, Steve. All He's right. everywhere.
Did you get any feedback on Wednesday about that full week? Because Levante David had said previously he never got a whole week off. The NFL, you're mandated to have 4 days off in a row and has to include a weekend. That's a bye week. So after the Saints game, Todd Bowles could have brought everybody back for let's watch film on Monday and have your Tuesday day off, come back on Wednesday for a walkthrough and more meetings or whatever, and then 4 day weekend, everybody will come back Monday. No, Bowles told them in New Orleans, we'll see you a week from Monday.
Lee, that is an example, a prime example of a coach who's got his finger on the pulse of his football team. And Bowles realized his guys have done a hell of a job the first half of the season, and they're battered, and they need a freaking week off. And let's bring them in there Monday and start fresh on New England. That is smart coaching by Todd Bowles.
I can't say that's smart because it was so obvious even a drunk in a bar could see that.
Maybe some coaches would have brought him on.
Correct. Some coaches would not have done it, but I'm not opening up the Hall of Fame for Bowles because he saw his players were hurt. I mean, come on. But he did a smart thing. I'm not saying that was revolutionary, but, I mean, like I said, anybody watching the Bucs could tell they were beat to hell mentally and physically. They needed time off. So, okay, credit the Bulls for doing that, but that a lunkhead knew better than
now,
that.
Now, along those...
I got to quote, let's not run away from all this stuff. All right. What let you know, Lee, that the Bucs were beat to hell mentally? Because I wasn't seeing that.
Well, look at the offense, how lethargic it was.
The offense was fizzling. It was fizzling.
Look how lethargic it was. I mean, Trisha Whips is getting beat like a drum. Graham Barton's getting completely blown up. Yeah, it could be physical, but it had all the earmarks of these guys were shot
and
mentally.
And Buka's taking a step back for 2 weeks.
Well, his issue is he's getting double teamed. No, I won't say he snuck up on people, but he's the only real option they have. So the teams are going to take him out. It's one thing to be talented and have a Hall of Famer on the other side of the field, and that's quite a different story to be talented and everybody's trying to take you out of the game.
It's been a rough haul those first 8 games. Rough haul with
the
injuries.
So you
think
they were mentally shot?
I didn't say shot, but they absolutely needed time to rejuvenate.
Well, even Josh Grizzard said Mayfield was so much refreshed mentally. Oh, no.
He said he had juice. That's one of your favorite words.
He made a strong statement. I had to ask. He said they were beat up mentally.
I understand.
Defense was not beat up mentally.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, and special teams straighten their act out. But you know what? They got to learn from that. If they were beat up mentally over these 8 games, you got 9 more, plus hopefully 3 or 4 more in the playoffs. So you got to not be Tristan Wirfs and Graham Barton if that's what happened, that they had bad games because they were mentally out of it. They got to snap out of that fast.
Just one more small point, and it may not even be a factor in the final 9 games, but and I think this could be a weakness, not only with Bowles, but a lot of NFL coaches, and I really don't understand it, Lee. If you're up by 20 points or you're down by 20 points, 3 minutes left in the game, take Mayfield out. I don't know why these coaches are reluctant to do that. I mean, well, what do you think? You're going to piss off your quarterback?
Dan Quinn's answer was really weak. He basically said, I'm not wired to think that way. Come on.
Common sense, Steve. Common sense.
Well, there were instances early in Jameis Winston's career when the Bucs were getting beat to hell, and he's out there, and Gert Cutter's like, no, we go down with the ship.
Why expose a guy to additional things that you don't have to?
I will quote Bruce Arians. You put a quarterback in harm's way, harm's coming.
Thank you, Bruce.
Now, some of them do it to teach the team how to battle through adversity. All right, let's get something out of these last 6 minutes. I get some of that, but when you're looking at quarterbacks, your franchise, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Going back to Bowles giving them the week off, Ira, do you think part of that is maybe it happens behind the scenes at one buck with assistant coaches or with players, but maybe part of that is, hey, coach just gave us 7.5 days off. We got to go out and kill for him.
I think that could be part of it.
Because, we got no excuse, and look what he did for us.
I think part of it is a reward for a job well done.
I think that's one and the same, and I agree more so with Steve than you are. You're saying, that's part. I think that was like a significant part of it. Here's another reason why I think Bowles gave him a week off, and you're talking about mental fatigue and physical fatigue. The week before the Saints game, Bowles basically came out and said, we got to get to the bye without any more injuries.
He did.
And they did. They went to the bye, and Bowles said, see you in a week.
I think with 2 weeks going into before the bye, I think the feeling at one buck place from the top on down, let's get to the bye. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the damn bye.
I don't want to sound like some cranky old guy, Ira. I really don't.
Well, you fill those roles. I mean,
there you go. But look, 8 games, and you're mentally fatigued, and there's no preseason action.
Have you looked at the injury list this year?
Ira, training camp is way softer than it was 15, 20 years ago. Way softer. These guys basically are not playing in the preseason. And 8 games that you need a mental break?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, here's why. One offensive lineman goes out, Mayfield's responsible for all these calls, offensive line calls. They basically have to redo their offense. Every other week, an offensive lineman's going down, and they have to rehaul their offense. Well, that's not just a pain in the ass for Grizzard. That's a pain in the ass for Mayfield. That's going to wear on you.
You know who also needed to be refreshed? You just mentioned it. Grizzard. I'm glad that he had a chance to self-scout.
Now, that I'll agree with, because Grizzard, I think, needed the week off more than anyone, because it was ugly the last game against New Orleans.
What did they have, 220 yards against New Orleans?
212.
I mean, against the Saints.
And, I know.
And whatever one, there were a lot of questions.
And that's what four turnovers, takeaways.
There were a lot of questions this week about the goal line. What happened at the goal line? I was a little surprised.
I'm not sure Grizzard answered it.
No,
I looked at his answer. I didn't see it.
He basically said, good teams run the ball in. Well, you didn't, so that makes your team what?
Part of me hoped that he was going to say, it's on me. That was the worst play calling I've ever seen. That can never happen.
Well said.
We got to slam it in, but we also need to
be creative.
Decide how we're going to do that and get it done. I still don't know what happened. I've watched those plays a bunch of times. Graham Barton got a little testy with this week. He was like, that's a fluke. We're really good in short yardage, and that's just one game, and it's going to show up again. We're really good in short yardage. I'm not worried about it. And he didn't like – he it wasn't that he was mad at the question. He just was like, this
he
is
didn't
not
– like that they were the idea that they were out physical.
Yeah,
like,
he was like this. He's like, this is not a thing. It was just one game.
I saw you gabbing with Graham Barton yesterday, Lee.
About 15 minutes before Barton went in front of the – well, there's no podium there – went in front of the microphones, I asked him point blank about that. But I buttered him up before, like, Graham, I've got a question. It's sensitive.
That is a veteran move, Lee. A veteran journalist move to lay the groundwork before you get into the sensitive.
Well, you know what? I've noticed that when you do that, usually good answers. Because the interviewee understands that you're not trying to ambush. You're like, hey, I got to ask you this. It's not pleasant. You know, I'm not trying to do a TMZ on here. I'm not trying to ambush you.
No, in contrast, I go in with guns blazing over there, Steve. And I get shut down.
So
Lee gets a good answer.
So I think I got Barton. Although he was very pleasant with me because he said, oh, don't worry about it. Ask the question. You're cool. And so maybe he figured he already answered that. Now he's getting peppered again with the same question.
Did he give you the same answer?
But no, he was very pleasant, and I'm going to transcribe it, and it'll be on JoeBucksFan.com. Now, but from what Steve tells me, it was different.
Now, Steve, I'm not saying that the goal line foibles caused friction between Bowles and Grizzard. I'm not saying that. But I think it clearly frustrated Bowles.
Why not?
Friction's a strong word.
You don't think Bowles went up to him? What the hell was that?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a question like Bowles is now second-guessing him as an offensive coordinator. But it frustrated Bowles, and he was not pleased, and he shouldn't be.
Bowles 2 weeks ago, after the Detroit game. We got to run the ball. We got to run the ball. Okay.
Is that the one where Mayfield threw 50 passes? Yeah.
Fast forward 2 weeks, you're playing a team that you cannot run against. And you don't have to run the ball. You don't have to run up against the brick wall. You got to be able to throw it. Either you have to run or you don't have to run. What's going on with Todd? Or does he see that he's facing a team that he knows they're not going to be able to run against?
I wouldn't read everything into what he says at the podium. We've learned that over the years, especially about injuries, but sometimes about other stuff too. Bowles is not happy with a guy throwing 50 passes. I mean, if he had Johnny Unitas, he wouldn't be happy with it. Or Joe Montana. That's not the way he's wired.
It doesn't matter. No coach wants that.
Now, Steve, the problem is the Bucs are not running the ball really well.
It's a bad setup. A team that doesn't give up running yards against a team that can't run the ball. That's bad.
So the Patriots have allowed the fewest yards in the NFL this season on the ground.
On the ground, yes.
And I believe they're third in the league in yards per carry allowed.
I think it's 3.9.
Superior run defense.
And as Lee says, nobody's gotten more than 50 yards on the ground.
One person has, but not a running back.
Yeah.
And that was Josh Allen.
Here comes Rashad White, and he's still in a contract year. He got the benefit of some fresh legs on the bye week. He's not on the injury report. And they are going to try to run the ball on the Patriots. We're going to see. I mean, they'll try. You know, this is a big opportunity for Rashad White personally to get his name out there. Hey, I'm the guy who cranked out 88 yards on the Patriots on 14 carries. You know, it's a big piece of the game because if you're going to force Mayfield to throw, and he doesn't have the weapons and they don't want to throw the tight ends, even though Kate Otten has run the most routes per game in the National Football League among tight ends, where is it going to come from?
Given the first 4 or 5 weeks when he was doing a lot of blocking?
That wasn't exactly accurate.
But he wasn't catching any balls.
Correct. So, yeah. But he was running the routes. Okay.
This run game that was so dynamic last year, I mean really dynamic, top notch, and now pedestrian. Now look, Irving's been hurt, but when Irving was in there, he wasn't, you know, averaging 5.4 yards a carry, not even close. Can we put all of that on the craziness on the right side of the offensive line? Why don't you run behind worse?
I've been screaming that for weeks, but the way he played against the Saints, do you want to run? It's a variety of factors, but you're missing probably the main one. Liam Cohen could scheme up a run game.
That's a great point, Lee.
I think the book is still open on Grizzard scheming up a run game.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Check out their 5-star Google reviews today. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there now. Educate yourself. so you know where to go when disaster strikes your home. Bucks 6-2, Patriots 7-2 at the Lighthouse, what we affectionately call the Lighthouse. And of course, there will be tens of thousands of Patriots fans there. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira Kaufman is with us, the great sage of Tampa Bay sports. We don't like hearing about those Patriots fans coming in here, Ira.
But, no, we don't.
But there are major events planned. The Patriots were actually pitching season ticket holders, telling them about parties in South Tampa, post-game concerts.
It's a bad look.
It sucks.
Look.
It sucks. But
for a team that's doing well. Doing well.
But it's just how it is. And you know what? We don't want to bring fans down. But if you're sitting around 10 Patriots fans on Sunday and you paid $300 to endure that, send an email to the Bucks and tell them you hate it and you want things to change.
If the Bucks were 2-6, I'd understand a little bit. You know, now 6-2. All right, I got something to tee you, Lee, up.
Since 1960, Ira, Bill Curry Ford has been taking care of Tampa Ford customers a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry
That's
Highway.
That's the first year of the American Football League. That's how far back that is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the first year.
I didn't
year.
Know that. All right. Hey, that's why you're the sage.
There you go.
There you go. Watching that game, young Ira, watching the first kickoff.
The Dallas Texans.
Don't worry. Drive Curry. They're third generation and fourth generation right now running the dealership. Unbelievable. You're going to get that family touch. You will get the Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan discount if you ask that of General Manager Bill Curry Ford.
And we were just there, Steve, a couple of days ago. Showroom looks great.
They've got mobile service. You can get a service at your home. Biggest service department in Florida. Nobody has ever seen anything like
Not
that.
Not in the Bay Area. In the state.
Yes. Unreal. 100 loaner vehicles. They're going to take great care of you. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com. Remember, that's the family name Curry. C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, what's your issue?
I got something for Mr. DeCamper here. Lee, you're our man on the scene at One Buck, and I'm reading the transcripts. They must have made Worf's available, and I don't see one quote. You got to tell me whether it was brought up and not put on the quote sheet or it was not brought up. Did anybody mention anything to Worf's about him having a bad game in New Orleans?
I didn't hear it.
Steve, how about somebody asking Worf's about a bad game? Am I worried about Worf's? No, but I don't know. He hasn't been the same player this year. I'm not sure he's fully healthy.
You're exactly right. He was on Busing with the Boys last week, and you know they were kind of joking with him, like, "Hey, can you still throw 450 pounds around weightlifting? Can you still do that?" He was famous for that at Iowa, and he said, "Nope, no, not now. I can't." And he said because he had surgery, he couldn't pump weights like he usually does. He had to use bands instead of regular free weights, and so the implication was, he's not quite as strong as he used to be.
You know, Lee, along those lines, if you were drawing up a list of Givens, G-I-V-E-N, about the Buccaneers.
Robin?
Givens.
Yeah.
Your number one Given, number one, Worf's is going to do a hell of a job protecting Mayfield's blindside. That is the first thing you put down. You don't put down Mayfield's going to complete 70%. You say, we're good on Mayfield's blindside. We don't have any concerns. We're good. And now I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned. So, Steve, that's another factor going into the Patriots game.
Well, I'm not concerned about Worf's. I mean, there's so many more things to be concerned about. I can't be too concerned about Worf's. What I am concerned about, though, Ira, is where we are. Bucks 6-2, Panthers 5-4, and the Panthers' next two games are against New Orleans and the Falcons. And they shut out the Falcons 30-0 earlier this season. Here come the Bucks. We've got the Patriots, Buffalo, and the Rams on the road.
It's very interesting.
Levante David brought up, he was on the Richard Sherman podcast. He's a little concerned about a lull. That was the word that he used. He said, in the past years, we've had a lull, and he wants to see the team keep climbing, just keep growing, because he has some concern that, you know, the Bucks were 4-7 in 2023, 4-6 last year. Now they're 6-2. It looks like it's gone, but apparently it's in the back of David's head, and I know it's in the back of a lot of fans' heads.
There's a danger here, Lee. All you got to do is look at the schedule. Now
the swoon.
Now they've lost the Detroit game. Suppose they lose 2 out of 3. Now all of a sudden you've lost 3 out of 5. It's a little bit of a swoon, and I don't care how much the schedule softens. And by the way, Lee, and you know I'm right about this, Carolina may not be considered a gimme anymore.
No.
And you play them twice. Is it a given that you're going to sweep Carolina? I don't think
so. Last year they got out by the skin of their teeth.
I mean, the Falcons are dead in the water, Steve. I and Raheem's hanging by a thread with Arthur Blank being 83 years old. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a change over there. But Canales, they're a funny team, Steve. They waxed Atlanta, which may not be great shakes. But they've won some games where you didn't think Carolina was going to do it. So Canales is doing a hell of a job, Steve. He just is.
If he can keep it going. There's a great chance Carolina comes to the Bucks at 7-7 with three games to go. Week 16 at Carolina. And then the Bucks would have Miami on the road. And then they come home for Carolina again. If Carolina is 7-7 coming to Tampa, if the Bucks are 10-4, it's still in play, right? It's still in play because Carolina could...
They'd have to sweep the Bucks.
They'd have to sweep them. So the Bucks want to get that cushion, which would allow them to rest any guys that are banged up. But this is a critical stretch.
I don't see the Bucks losing in Miami. Miami's already in disarray. By then, they'll be in more disarray.
Yeah, they're going to have fire sale.
But I understand your point, Steve. Now, Carolina's schedule after these two games... It's got to toughen up a little bit.
Yeah, it does. They got the 49ers. But, Lee, are you concerned about the Bucks having any kind of lull? They may lose, but the lull that Lavonte David's talking about where they start to play worse, that's really the key, what he was talking about.
Well, they've had a swoon every year Bowles has been coach. Every year they've had a midseason swoon. Yeah. Well, how and why, I don't know.
But they've had to finish strong to salvage it.
Yes. Yeah. Just to go back to Wirfs a little bit, I still am under the impression that the Lions – exposed the Bucks somehow, some way, and the slimy Saints just copied what the Lions did. For Wirfs and Barton to get lit up two games in a row, especially Wirfs, I got to believe that Detroit found something. We'll find out this Sunday if that's actually the case, because if the Lions found something and the Saints just copied them, well, you can bet your bottom dollar Vrabel's going to do the very same thing.
You know why this is a big game for the Bucks?
A lot of reasons.
To me, this is number one. If you win it, you put off a bad spell.
Yes.
But if you lose it, and now you're going to Buffalo and the Rams, all of a sudden, it's possible you could lose 4 out of 5 when you count the Detroit loss. That's a swoon. So you got to start off right here and give yourself a little cushion.
Would you agree or not, if the Bucks can win two of these next three games, they got smooth sailing?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
If they could somehow get two wins, three would be great, of course.
If they're 8-3, I think it's smooth sailing.
Look, the town would be on fire. They would become the darlings of the league. Look, nobody in the NFC has less than two losses.
That's right.
So the Bucks are right there. If they go 8-3, they're going to be talked about as the number one seed.
Now they lose a tiebreaker to a couple of teams, like Philly
Eagles,
and Detroit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
two out of three would be very sweetly, very sweet.
We'll get into our picks in the next segment, Ira. Now, you've got an 8-0 record on the line with your picks this season. It's documented. We have the audio. We know it's real. Ira's 8-0. Lee and I are 6-2. We need to catch you. And I know
so you're going to want me to go first, and then you go opposite
We're going to let you go last. We're going to let you go last.
Stanford Steve move.
But
did you notice my fantasy team didn't pull it out, Steve? I didn't get the
job. You're struggling. I got a big, big week this week. But seriously, Sage, the Bucks defense, do you expect them to sustain the excellence that they've been putting out there lately? And what are you looking for from them? And obviously, you already told us in the first segment that the loss of Hassan Reddick, who cares, is sort of the way you threw it out there. But beyond that, they're healthy.
Lee, this is how fast things can change in Tampa. I am far less concerned with the Buck defense going into this game than I am with the Buck offense going into this game, because I'm not sure I trust the Bucks scoring more than 20 points. And New England doesn't run the ball well. I think they'll force a couple of mistakes. And I think the Buck defense will play well. I don't think May's got great playmakers around him, Lee.
I am very content with the Bucks defense last few weeks. Very happy. And I think the Bucks defense may have to carry them this week. I mean, I think they're capable of doing it.
How many snaps for Nelson this week, Lee?
That's an interesting question. He's probably going to start. What do you think he'll get? 48%? 60%?
No, he's usually in the 40s when he's a backup. So
now you can't expect the same kind of performance.
No.
You can't.
No way. But he'll should be in the 70s, three out of four.
My only issue with Nelson, I've said it repeatedly through the years, when he plays a physical team, he vanishes. He's playing a finesse team. He's dynamite. A Detroit, San Francisco, they take him out. I don't know how physical Vrabel's team is. I'm guessing it is. The players have told me they're smart and physical. So I just got a hunch that Nelson's coming down to earth.
You know what was a great sign for the Bucks? Winfield playing like that.
He's back to his all-pro self.
Well, Mikey Smith's outstanding.
The important thing is the defense is playing with a ton of confidence. And they should be drooling at a young quarterback with extra time to prepare. For me, the key is Vita Vea. Remember, he's had a couple of mysterious foot issues pop up. He's played through everything.
Always.
But he's played through them all. This week, he's not on the injury report. He got his week off. Their center is on the injured list. Garrett Bradbury with a hip issue may or may not play. If Vea can blow this game up, man,
Lee on the other side of the ball, would you go after Carlton Davis?
No, he's had a solid year.
But nobody knows him better than Bowles. Nobody.
Sure, that doesn't mean he's going to target him right and left. If he's playing well, I don't know why you'd want to target a guy that's playing well. Yeah, I get it. You want to embarrass him. He left the Bucks, but I don't care who he used to play for. He's on the other team now, and if he's playing good, I want to stay away from him.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they shadow Abuka, Christian Gonzalez, their number one corner. Davis is their number two, and he's making $20 million. Gonzalez is supposedly going to be able to come out of the concussion protocol.
He was a first-round pick, right, Steve?
First-round pick.
Very talented. So, always hurt, but very talented.
But if Davis is not covering Abuka, then, you know, Davis is very talented to be covering a guy like whoever else the Bucks are going to run out.
Sterling Shepard.
As a number two receiver.
Tez Johnson
especially. So Davis can be very physical, and I think he'll be very motivated in this game.
He's also a handsy guy.
Here we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. They're an icon. They're the Levante David of car dealerships. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name. Curry, don't worry. Drive Curry. Shop there now. Check out all their great November specials and inventory. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira. We got the game tomorrow.
I got a lot on the line here, Stevie.
Bucks at the Patriots. You've got your sageness on the line since you're 8-0 with your picks this season, which is pretty damn stunning. And we can prove it, which is the fun part. And now is the time. So to set the stage here, Ira, Bucks coming off a bye week. Todd Bowles' teams aren't so great coming off a bye week. He's much better coming off a summer's worth of rest because they're 2-0. To start the last four seasons, including this one. Off a bye week, not so much. And so I'll let you get after it. I know you're chomping at the bit.
The time's at hand, Lee. Time's at hand. I'm going with the home team for a couple of reasons. One, I think they will be refreshed mentally, physically, any way you want to look at it. I don't care how many New England fans are in the crowd. I don't think that's going to matter. And, Lee, to be perfectly honest, I'm not totally sold on New England. We saw what happened to Indy last week, and Pittsburgh's not great. They're okay. You know, they're a 9-win team, Pittsburgh. Okay. They throttled Indy because Indy hadn't played anybody. Now, New England had a hell of a win in Buffalo. I give them that. But Tampa went to Seattle, and, you know, maybe Seattle's as good as Buffalo, I mean, at this point. I think the Bucs are a better team. I think the Bucs defense will throttle New England to a great extent. I don't see a lot of dynamic playmakers on their side of the ball. I don't see any receiver that's as good as Egbuka. Not even close, in my opinion. And I think the Bucs are going to win this game 20-16. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. New England's 4-0 on the road. They will suffer their first road loss of the season. And I'll flip it to you, Lee, with this note. Should the Bucs lose this game, look out. Could be a problem. Could be a little premonition of another midseason slump.
Ooh.
That's not why I'm picking the Bucks. I think the Bucks are better. And I think Mayfield's going to bounce back and look like the old Mayfield. May's going to get his, but he's also going to get sacked four times. Bucks win 2016.
Well, I hope you're right. To me, I just don't like the vibe. I don't like the signs. Steve always brings it up. He's right. The Bucks have yet to figure out how to have a dynamic offense without Mike Evans. And they won't have Chris Godwin. And the Patriots don't allow anybody to run against them. The Bucs don't have a running game right now. I just don't like the math here. No running game versus a team that doesn't allow the run. That means you're going to pass the ball. And unfortunately, the Bucs have not come up with a decent passing offense without Mike Evans. That's 2 years running now. Ibuka, as good as he is, he's going to be double, if not triple teamed. I just don't like the math here. I don't like the vibe. I don't like the signs.
What
I don't
about
like
the
history.
Defense? What about the Bucks?
Bucks defense will do fine. They'll do fine. But they're not going to shut them out. They might have to shut them out, in my mind, for the Bucks to win. I say 17-13 Patriots.
Ooh. Interesting, Ira. Well, I just want to clarify because Lee invoked my name. Overall, the Bucs are bad without Mike Evans, but they have shown that they can do it, just like up in Seattle. They racked up all those points without Mike Evans.
And Godwin then, too.
Godwin only had
a few
catches. I mean, he sort of looked kind of impotent, but the way I look at this game, Ira, I'm with you, and I'll tell you why. And it really is tied to, the number one, the Patriots' injuries. They're losing their top deep threat. That's a big deal. Booty's their top deep threat. Stephon Diggs is their catches most of the yardage. But
he's a possession guy.
But he's a possession guy. And without the deep threat, Drake May's been really good at that. So, yeah, I expect him to complete a lot of passes, and Bucs fans are used to that in the Todd Bowles defense.
And he's going to run six or seven times.
And he'll run, but I don't think they're going to run the ball, and I think they'll struggle. I really do. I think there's something to May against that Bowles defense, which is playing very well. I can't take that away from him. So I do think that the Bucs will get more from Mayfield in this game, even running. I think Mayfield understands the gravity of this game. I'm going to guess that Luke Getteke comes back, and that gives them some more comfort in the long passing game. And
don't forget about McLaughlin. He's a weapon.
He's a weapon, but I'm going to say with Ibuka, I believe Ibuka is a legit number one receiver, and those guys can handle the double teams. And I think he's going to have real fresh legs.
I got a question for Steve. And I'll admit, people can criticize me for this in a certain way. I deserve it. But I cover the Bucs, and I'm laser focused on the Bucs. I haven't seen one play the Patriots played this year. Not one play. I don't follow the Patriots. I haven't done a lot of research on the Patriots. Stephon Diggs is with the Patriots. That would happen to him.
He's their top receiver.
Yes. Yes.
This dude's washed. He's washed. That's no threat. If he's your top receiver.
Yeah, Kayshon Booty is their big deep threat, you know, the 17 yards a catch guy. And May has been very good on deep balls. But now that they don't have that option.
And he uses the tight end.
And Diggs is inconsistent. And they throw the tight end.
Hunter Henry.
Maybe
Hunter
I should have reconsidered, but I'm not. I'm going to stick with something.
We need a score. We need a score, Stevie.
So I think the Bucs might do a little better running the ball than people think. But it's going to be a struggle. But I'm taking them 21-20. I don't trust the Patriots enough. Because they haven't beaten a lot of great teams, and even though they won six in a row, and it wouldn't shock me if they smack the Bucs around, I think the Bucs will have enough, just enough.
So you're not going to be able to pick up a game on me, Steve.
I can't pick up a game on you. Could get embarrassed here. I could get embarrassed, fall into third place. It's terrible.
Why is this a big game, Lee? Why?
Well, when you're trying to make a playoff run, every game's big. I don't care who you're playing. You want to go into the final stretch run sharp. You want to win games. As Steve was suggesting, Levante David wants to stack wins. That's what you want to do.
Are you worried that a loss Sunday could trigger a midseason slump, considering the schedule?
Well, considering you're going to Buffalo and the Rams on Sunday night, yeah, of course. And, you know, the Bucs play better on the road, but you're still going to Buffalo and to the Rams. So, yeah, you got pride. But part of it would depend how they lose. But you know what? I don't think they're going to lose. So I can't even go there.
Looking ahead, what's the tougher game? Buffalo or the Rams?
At the Rams, because Sean McVay, he usually runs rings around Bowles' offense. The only time he did not, I think Stafford was hurt. It was right before the Bucs went to Munich. It was a home game for the Bucs, close game. It was like one score game,
maybe
a field
goal.
The
Rams were terrible that year, yeah.
Yeah, I think Stafford was hurt that year. But usually McVay runs circles, not quite like Sean Payton. But Sean McVay usually has very good success against Bowles' defense.
Lee, we hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong.
We hope you're wrong. And so do you.
It's a big game for the Bucs' defense. Big game for them to take a hot team and just clamp them down, hold them under 20 points, and win the game.
I don't care. I can't believe what May's doing with this New England offense. I just don't see that much talent.
He's a complete player. That's the thing. He throws deep. He throws short. 74%, and he runs. I mean, you know, we got a guy like that, too. Who I think is, I'm going to go with the better quarterback.
Did the Bears screw up again with quarterback?
It's possible.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
When are we going to be back, Steve?
We will be back next week. All right, Ira, look, you have to say a proper goodbye to Bucs fans who are very excited about your anniversary. 44 years. Legend.
Same woman.
Of unity.
Same woman.
Of unity.
She is a saint, right? Steve, you've met her. She's a saint. No question about it.
Wonderful woman. I can't imagine being married to you for 44 years, Ira.
Put up with all my idiosyncrasies, Lee, and there's a lot of them. Lee, you know, we've worked together for 9 years, and you know everything about me. And can you imagine trying to live with me, Lee? It's difficult. So
imagine some woman living with me.
Oh, no, I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
What does your son get you a fancy gift every year? How does that go? Or he's more of a birthday guy?
I'm lucky to get a phone call, but I'll be happy with a phone call. He's doing well.
Awesome. All right, Ira, look, you got a lot on the line this week with your pick. Lee and I got a lot on the line breaking a tie, and the Bucks got a lot on the line because, you know, let's just call it what it is. Yeah, there'll be panic in the streets if the Bucks lose at home to the Patriots, and then they got to go to Buffalo and take on a Giant.
There'll be panic, you think? More than angst? I thought there'd be
angst. There'll be a little bit of panic.
Angst leads to panic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mostly, I got a Bucks
mostly because it's off the bye.
Okay,
like,
okay.
All right, hey, we're home, we're fresh, we're ready. Oh, crap, we lost, so hopefully it doesn't go there.
I got a Bucks question for you, Ira. Antonio Brown was pinched recently in the in Dubai. You know, he's a fugitive, you know that.
Did he take his shirt off?
That's one of the best one-liners I've heard in a while. That's a good one.
Did he take his shirt off in front of a sheikh?
I never did. I don't know why I didn't. I got to write it up. Yeah, Werps talked about that. I'm busting with the boys, that incident.
And
he was on the field. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Next thing you know, he looks up, and there's Antonio Brown doing jumping jacks in the end zone. And he said to Arians, like, he's not a Buccaneer.
We'll catch you next week, Buck Nation.